and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Almost 5 months of weekend protests continue in Paris. And for the first time in more than 50 years, the French military has been deployed against its own citizens. The situation is becoming increasingly grave as protesters aren't backing down and the government isn't giving in. A showdown seems to be lurking in the shadows. Well, before starting tonight's debate, let's cross over and to Paris and get an update on the latest round of protests from Press TV's Ramin Mazahiri. Ramin, fill us in on the latest. You've been covering the protests for months now. Well, tell us about the latest that took place today.
Well, as you mentioned, this is a historic turning point in France. For the first time since the Algerian War for Independence, the French government has deployed the French army on French soil against French people. This was naturally very controversial, but it was not the only measure which was announced in the last week, which increased the French government's ability to repress the Yellow Vest anti-government movement. We also saw this week the firing of the police chief of Paris. And one of the reasons expressly given by the prime minister was that the former police chief, he had given orders which reduced the usage of rubber bullets. That's something which made many people happy. France has been criticized by the UN, by top NGOs, because they are the only European country which uses rubber bullets. However, that this was not the only increased tool that police were given. They were given even stronger rubber bullets, even more concentrated tear gas, and they were given orders to make unprecedented searches and seizures. And what we saw in Paris was sporadic violence, but very, very intense. We also saw serious injuries outside of Paris caused by these rubber bullets. But clearly the intimidation did not work, because according to the Yellow Vests, you had more than 120,000 protesters here in France nationwide. That count certainly seems legitimate to many, many people. What's clear is that the Yellow Vests were not intimidated by the government's new tools of repression. And nobody in France expects this movement to stop next week or even next month. Many Yellow Vesters say that they are insisting that the government respond to their legitimate demands, which, to sum them up in one phrase, are anti-austerity. The Yellow Vests, they are really not something new. We have had 8 years of anti-austerity protests in France, and now we have the Yellow Vests.
For that update out of Paris, that's Press TV's Ramin Mazahiri. Well, I'd like to cross over to Paris, or back to Paris, joined by the chairman of Solidarity and Progress Party, Jacques Chaminade. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, your take on all this, it has been 19 consecutive Saturdays now that the protests have been going on, which is a long time, especially during the holidays and the winter. Tell me your take on all of this. Why are we seeing such determination and consistency with these protests?
Well, something has to be said. It's a protest against neoliberal austerity. And it's a protest against the presidency of Emmanuel Macron and people who are around him and enforcing this type of policies. The Yellow Vests are not discouraged. They were this week in Paris, this weekend in Paris, there was no violence. The Black Blocs were not there. And the Black Blocs, what are they? It's an international group, provocateurs, who are trying to destabilize the situation. The Yellow Vests, on the contrary, are people who want a change in the policy of my country. And they had in front of their demo a banner saying it very clearly. Citizens, a citizens referendum, a citizens initiative referendum for a national bank. Let's go for a national bank. And let's stop with the odious debt, which means that the debt paid by the people should not be paid and it should be cancelled. And there should be a policy of common development with a national bank of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that's a necessary policy for the future. And the Yellow Vests are understanding progressively that this is a key issue. It started as a movement against the gas oil tax against the policy of the government in general, and also in particular for the purchasing power. Now it's expanding towards the demand of a more general just policy.
And do you think that you said this is a demonstration basically against neoliberalism and also Macron himself and his administration policies? But do you think that these demonstrations at the end of the day are going to really affect Macron? Is it going to be able, the demonstrations, be able to put enough pressure to change his policies? Because so far we haven't seen Macron budging very much.
Well, if you look at what the government is doing, on March 9, the interior minister, the night of the demonstrations, was at a nightclub sipping vodka until 2 o'clock in the morning. So it's not serious. Christophe Castaner is not serious. Macron, on March 16, was in La Mongie skiing, and he had come back in a haste. So this government has no sense of the situation, has no sense of how far it's going. And they think that by doing this and that, they could master the process. It's no more possible. And there is a demand for a change, a deep change in the orientation of the policy. Macron has been elected with the support of the startup society, the entrepreneurial forces, in fact, financial forces. And now he could if he wants to change, he should go against them. I don't think he would do it. So we are going towards a very tense situation in this country, in the framework of the European elections. But it will be, it's a much more in-depth challenge for everybody. And what's needed is to have a coherent policy for the future. And at this point, it demands from France to have an independent policy nationally, internationally. At this day, President Xi Jinping from China is in France. And I think that France and China should have a relation which will create the basis for a win-win system. It's not taking this direction, and we're working for the policy of my country to take this direction, a win-win policy inside France, in the domestic policy, and a win-win policy internationally. And for that, we need a deep change in the economic policy. Let's get rid of Wall Street and City of London influence, and let's go for this national bank to produce for the people. I repeat it because it's a key question.
Okay. Well, we'll stay with me. Let me get our next guest in on this conversation. Welcoming senior analyst, Foreign Policy in Focus, Ian Williams, out of New York. Thanks so much for being with us. When we look at what has been happening in France, the increased pressure on the middle class and demanding the working class sacrifice more and for more in the name of austerity, we see that happening across the West. Now, how likely is it that other countries will follow the French lead and start demanding their governments implement changes? And why are we seeing more governments exactly implementing these back-breaking austerity measures against their own people?
It's, well, a mystery. Austerity has been proven to fail over and over again. Everywhere it's been tried, it's failed. And yet these people, they're like the medieval doctors who believed the bleeding patients cured them, even if it killed them. So they keep coming back recommending austerity. Economic growth is truncated. The middle and working classes are starved, almost literally, of funds and stability. And then you get the spontaneous reactions like the Yellow Jackets, which is fascinating, but in a way it's in the French tradition. I mean, this is, how should I say, a broadly distributed, it's a virtual internet age phenomenon where people are mobilizing themselves without necessarily having leaders or representative organizations. So this is thoroughly destabilizing for Macron and the others. They're not going to cope with it because, as your previous speaker said, they are totally beholden to the financial forces that have brought about this crisis, that believe in austerity, that believe that the way forward is to starve workers and the middle class while the rich get much richer. Obviously, this is an untenable situation, and it's very difficult to see where it goes, because the very nature of the yellow jackets that makes them so successful is the lack of leadership in a broad sense, the lack of direction. It's the fact it's an autonomous movement that gives it its strength and variety. Possibly the worst thing that Macron can do is to try to actually repress it, as he has done, because that gives a focus that people can rally around. I mean, whatever they were going for originally, they will then go against police oppression. Mm-hmm. And
okay,
well, you can see some similar phenomena in Britain, I think. Mm-hmm. But that's been obscured by the whole Brexit debate, for and against.
Right, well, let me get Jacques back in on this.
People are prepared to come out.
Stay with me, Ian. Jacques, the development charity Oxfam says that 8 billionaires own half of the world's wealth. Isn't this the main problem in the world, like the lack of the spread of wealth, and the banks and the bankers that make sure that this remains a reality? And of course, Macron is a former Rothschild banker. Your take on this, and if any of this has experiences that you think are playing a major role in decisions that now are being made, which definitely appears to be against the French masses.
Well, Macron has been a banker, but he's much more than that. He's involved in this policy of people who try to get on top of the French social pyramid by all means. And he's gift agent, but he's in a box, and he thinks inside the box, and he's not able to see how people suffer. And many times, he said things that are unbearable for the people. He said, to find a job, you have only to cross the street, or things like that. And people are furious against that. He's like a provocateur, and he's a person who, in front of it's not yet a revolution, but it's a kind of insurrection, he would shoot in his own foot.
Well, where does this come from, this lack of empathy? Staying with you, Jacques, I mean, you say that basically he's more than that. He doesn't see, he just thinks inside the box. But it doesn't take a whole lot to understand the suffering of the people. And of course, we look at retirees that are also on the streets, and the way that their retirement money, their pension, doesn't even get them to make it through the month. So how is it that it's happening that there's such a detachment on the part of the government towards the people?
Because in the last, let's say, 3 or 4 presidencies in France, you had all the time this policy enforced. Until now, it could go together with a policy of expenses for social measures, more or less, buying the people. Now it's no more possible. Because of the international situation and the national situation, the French elites are cornered. And at this point, this is what creates the insurrection of the Yellow Vests. Also, you have the Facebook phenomenon. The communication of people through Facebook created the conditions that people would know each other, go to the streets, go to the traffic circles, and organize themselves. So at this point, where it will go, I agree. Nobody knows in what direction it's going to go. But what's needed is a direction. And this is what the forces that try to represent. We have minimal forces, but we try to give a sense of a project. And what's needed at this point, it's a project for the people in my country, and at the same time that France reestablished a Gaullist policy internationally, which is a policy of sovereignty and national independence. And the French presidents in the last 3 or 4 even presidencies have gone with the Atlanticists, as it's called here, with the Anglo-American financial forces, instead of serving France.
Well, Ian, how significant is it that this crackdown and the army's interference is taking place in France? Now, we saw the army actually deployed, as I said in my opening. Now, this is a country which likes to brag that it is the cradle of liberty, but so far we have seen 15 people killed, at least 20 blinded by rubber bullets, thousands of others arrested, at least 13,000 rubber bullets that have been used, and it seems like it's going to get worse as the Prime Minister actually has tightened up things even more. Your take on this?
Well, we have to remember this current republic with its presidential system was the product of a quasi-coup by Charles de Gaulle. And we have to remember it was Napoleon Bonaparte, on behalf of the revolution, who used a whiff of grape shot to calm down the crowds he disagreed with. So there's a great tradition in France of the elites taking advantage of revolutions and then turning on the people who put them in power with the revolution. So this is no great surprise, but it's the instability here which is really worrying again. Remember, the reason that the French elite can't carry on bribing with welfare, as your other interlocutor said, is because of constraints put on by the Germans and the central bankers from the European Union. They can't just increase social spending to try to control this. They have deep constraints on it. They were shamefully part of the posse that was ganging up on Italy and Greece and Portugal a few years ago for fiscal abandon by spending money on at a time of depression, which is what every economist says they should be doing. So this is a whole Western phenomena, and it's really digging the grave of the Washington consensus. It's quite clear that austerity doesn't work, it doesn't produce results. The US has bigger deficits than ever before. Britain has bigger deficits than ever before, and a huge shortfall in welfare spending. So they're clawing to the bone. They're destroying what made for social stability since World War II. In fact, since Bismarck, the idea that the state and the society owes a duty to its poorest and weakest, that idea is being ripped up every day in Paris, in London, in Washington, and in Berlin, of course. But it's going to lead to more yellow vest phenomena. People will only take a certain amount of it.
What about that, Jacques? I mean, what is going on? It's not only in France, as our guests in New York said, it's happening throughout many Western countries. This detachment as far as the need of the poor and feeling that there's a sense of responsibility to take care of your poor. And where does this lead? When a society becomes so detached from the impoverished, or as a matter of fact, impoverishing others, what is going to happen? Because obviously there are those that their line is drawn and they can only take so much. So tell me the scenario that you see, at least in the next few months or this year, 2019, in dealing with the situation there in France.
Well, let's be clear. There is a financial dictature ruling the world. You may call that the Washington Consensus. You may call that other names, but it's a financial dictature. It's not liberal. It's a dictature. So against that, the forces are rising in various countries in different forms. But they are against that. And we should be a clear orientation to these forces. It's like you need a Socratic action for that, to give them the means to go in the direction where it's needed, which is to have a clear policy against this financial oligarchy. And for that, you need to get a union of forces, a unity of forces against that. And let's be clear on another thing. The policy of this financial dictature is against the nation state. Tony Blair was very clear, the worst representative, political representative of this dictature. He said, we should finish forever with the Peace of Westphalia. What it means? Peace of Westphalia is the advantage of the other, and it's the basis for the nation state. These people are for a global financial dictator ruling above and over the states and against the states.
Okay.
And if a leader like Macron agrees to work with this thing, he becomes a puppet. That's a question.
All right, Jacques, I would love to continue this conversation also with you and Ian. Unfortunately, we are out of time, perhaps another time. Senior analyst at Foreign Policy in Focus, Ian Williams out of New York, and Chairman Solidarity and Progress Party, Jacques Cheminot out of Paris, thanking both of you. And as always, we thank you, viewers, for being with us on another debate. Well, I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.